So you were in the... You were actually in Jaegu when the earthquake happened.
Yeah, we were just getting out of bed. It was around 7:45 in the morning. My wife was on the internet checking their email. Our younger son was just playing in the living room. And our older son, I was still in bed. And I was just getting ready to start the day, get dressed and stuff. And then all of a sudden the earthquake hit. And our younger son flew across the room. My wife grabbed him. We paused for just a second to decide what to do, and we heard people running down the stairs of our apartment complex, so we decided that we needed to get out of there. So I ran into the back bedroom, I grabbed a pair of shoes and a coat, because it was still freezing temperatures outside, and we ran down the stairs as fast as we could, and actually one of our Tibetan neighbors grabbed and helped me carry him outside onto the main street.
And you mentioned earlier that there was an earthquake before the big one. Can you describe when that was and kind of that situation?
Yeah, we woke up actually around 4 in the morning to an earthquake, and it was quite strong, and my wife actually wanted us to get out, but I paused and I told her, no, I don't think this one's that big, and so we decided to stay in, but I was kind of up the rest of the morning, and then all of a sudden, like I said, around 7:45, the big 6.9 earthquake struck, and it was just this horrible, loud sound of metal breaking, concrete smashing, glass cracking, and it was just this thunderous sound.
And so you guys ran out the street, and what you're out in the street for a while.
Yeah, we ran out, and then there was a few dozen people out on the street already. And then as a few more minutes passed, more and more people came out on the street. And then a lot of them were screaming because they had trapped relatives, or they had some relatives who were either extremely hurt or already dead. And so after the earthquake, it was all dusty. And when we weren't able to actually see what the extent of the damage was, but once the dust settled, then we were able to see that, yes, there was a major earthquake with massive destruction.
And so you mentioned that you guys went to a town square, which is pretty much the center of Jaegu town. And can you tell me what happened after that?
Yeah, we wanted to drive. Fortunately, our vehicle was unharmed, and so I drove it out of our parking lot. And we didn't really know what to do or where to go, and we decided that we wanted to get to a safe area, and the safest area was a big open square right in the middle of the city. And actually a lot of other people had gathered there as well, and so by the time we got there, there was probably already a couple of thousand people there already, because it was one of the only, if not the only, safe place in the city center.
And so after that, the government informed you guys you needed to head out to the traditional horse festival grounds.
Yeah, that's right. Because the city square in the middle doesn't have enough room to fit everybody, I think the government felt like it would be safer to have everyone go to the horse festival park, which is on the far west part of the city. And it's just this huge expanse of grasslands. There's no building out there. And so then the government, with loudspeakers, the police, and a few military people were telling everyone in Chinese and Tibetan to head to the horse festival grounds. So that's what we did. We drove through the town very slowly because everyone was walking, or if they had a vehicle that worked, were driving out to the horse festival grounds. Thousands of people making a journey out to there.
And so you drove through, in this entire event, you drove through the entire city. Can you describe the damage from one end of the city to the next, and just the extensiveness, and as well as maybe how it's different from different place to different place?
The neighborhood that we were renting an apartment in is in the south side of the city, and there was quite extensive damage there in the south end. Most of the houses were down, the buildings were, if they didn't fall down, they had massive cracks in them. The building right across the street, literally only 50, 60 feet away from us, totally had fallen down. The first two floors fell down, and the top five floors fell down on the bottom two floors. And then as you work your way up to the city center, the damage wasn't so bad. Most of the concrete buildings there survived. as in they were still standing, but they had massive cracks, deep cracks in them. But as we headed out to the west end of the city, to where the horse festival grounds are, that's where the bulk of the population lives, and they live in small mud brick Tibetan style homes. They're very, very poor homes, and many of those homes, you know, I would say, in my guess, I would guess around 85% of those homes were just a twisted mess of logs and dirt and broken glass. I mean, they were leveled. I mean, there's no possible way that you could live in them anymore. And lots of people were buried in there. Lots of people were trapped in there.
What was, as you went to the other side of the town, as you guys got out of town, can you describe kind of that part of Yushu?
Yeah, as we headed more to the east side of the town, the damage was not quite as extensive as it was on the west side of town.
It's still very bad.
It was still quite bad, but this is more like of the commercial area. Like, there's more businesses and restaurants there, and not so much residential area. And so even though the buildings there had massive cracks in them, still many of them were at least somewhat standing.
Great. Can you give us an idea of overall of Yushu, what the damage, if you had to give a percentage to it?
You know, I just got off the phone with a good friend of ours, and all of the Tibetans, most of the Tibetans right now are living out on the grasslands. The government has given them tents, but then my friend down there also said that a lot of them have taken shelter in the nearby monasteries. And my friend said that 90% of all the buildings in Jeju town are destroyed, and nobody is able to live in any of the houses. The government has declared all of them unlivable, and so all of the survivors have to live either at the monastery guest houses or out on the grasslands in tents.
Great. Can you tell us about, as you drove back today, kind of the scene you saw and the response from the larger cities?
Yeah, on the way up, driving from Yushu to the city, we saw probably no less than 1,500 aid and relief vehicles bringing supplies down to Yushu. These were soldiers, they were doctors, they were police from other areas of China, all bringing in items such as coats, gloves, socks, tents, water, food, medical supplies. And so, in my opinion, I feel like the government really acted on this, considering how remote Yushu is. Getting aid relief to that area is not easy, and the government, in my opinion, jumped on it as quickly as they could.
Can you describe, for anyone listening to this, kind of what the weather's like in Yushu right now? So everyone is not in their homes. There's no heat.
No. Even though it's, you know, the middle of April, on the Tibetan Plateau, it can still be quite cold, and in the nighttime temperatures in Yushu are still several degrees below zero. And even during the day, the daytime temperatures aren't extremely cold, but this time of year, there's a lot of wind. Wind and dust storms whip through there. And when we were out at the horse festival grounds where the government instructed people to go yesterday, the winds were whipping through there 30, 40 miles an hour and picking up the dust and sand and blowing it everywhere. And the people, this was before the government had issued tents, you know, they had no shelter, no protection from this at all. They were totally exposed to the elements.
Is there anything else you can think of that would be useful to add?
No, just keep these people in your thoughts, and, you know, if there's any way that you're able to donate to this relief project, you know, I highly encourage you. I mean, these are extremely poor Tibetans to begin with who have very little, and even the very little that they have has now been taken away from them. So most of these people just escaped with literally just their sleeping clothes and maybe a blanket and a pair of slippers. I mean, they lost everything. And so if there's anything that that you guys out there are able to do, please do so. Even a little donation can go a long way for these people.
That's right. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.